No need. No need. This is how I'll talk. This is how we will get through this podcast.
Well, what are we talking about? Is it competitions? Is that how you want to call the episode?
Competiciones.
What are we going to talk about?
Competition flying.
Competition flying. What is that all about?
Competing against inferiors.
Inferiors? That's an awesome way to put it. Let's get it going. Welcome to another episode of BKRC Podcast.
We are back.
This is number 22.
Yes.
Make sure you mute your phone, Kyle.
It is.
Episode number 22. Wow, 22 episodes. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're running out of ideas. I'm glad you came up with this idea because I'm out of ideas. We're going to have to start calling banter number two, banter number three, banter number four.
Guest number five.
But we don't have any guests. Nobody wants to give us the time of day. Everybody's busy.
Very rude.
Yeah. These guys just, they keep asking to be on the show. And then when it comes down to it, Mr. Todd Bennett, we're calling you on it. Mm-hmm. We're calling you on it. If you're listening to this, you better be on the show.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell you're that busy. There's no way. There's just no possible way.
I don't buy it. I just don't buy it.
I think we're pretty busy people here. Sometimes I put 16-hour work days, and I still have time to sit down with my boy Kyle and record. So you have no excuse.
None.
To be on the show.
None. Oh, well.
What you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well,
you've been hanging with someone.
Yeah, my girlfriend Olivia came down from Connecticut for a week to hang out. It's very cool. She was here for 10 days, and we did some stuff, movies and
they did some stuff.
And carved some pumpkins and had a good old time. So it was fun.
You did some stuff?
We did some stuff, yeah.
What stuff?
I just said it. Carved pumpkins, went to the movies, bowling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay, cool. It was a good time. What about you?
Nice. My girlfriend Susie's been living with me for the past few years. No, I... what have I done? I don't know. Nothing. I haven't done anything.
What do you mean nothing?
No.
You had to have done something.
No, not really.
Clean the
not
house?
Not really. I went to Torches last Saturday. Let me recap the last week. Hmm. I worked, and then I worked again, and I worked again. We run our Halloween sale. I'm thankful for all those of you that supported us. October is historically a very slow month in the hobby business, and it wasn't too bad. It was pretty good. So thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm. So worked on that. You had a relatively short week.
Mm-hmm.
Not short like a normal week, but like your hours were a little shorter.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I think it was kind of due that you just, it was good that, you know, you got to enjoy some quality time with Olivia, and, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you would leave a couple hours ahead of your normal leaving time, which is fine. Like, it was slow anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I didn't do a whole lot. I escaped and went to RCACF and flew my jet one day.
Oh.
During the week, yes.
Really?
Yeah, one of those days you left early. I was like, the weather is beautiful. It was a perfect day. It was, like, beautiful. No wind, like, sunny sky. It was perfect. Then I got there, and I didn't have the code to the gate. Yeah, there's a code. They lock the gate. If there's nobody there flying, they'll lock the gate. There's a gate. And I'm a member, but I have the code for 2019 and not the code for 2018 because I just rejoined their club, like, recently.
Yeah.
And they gave me the code, and I didn't write it down, so I forgot it. So anyway, I called Graves and trying to see if somebody knew the code, and my friend Jason Schulman gave me the code.
Nice.
And he was very skeptical. He was like, don't tell anybody I gave you the code. I'm like, dude, I'm a member. Like, do you want me to send you a picture of my membership card? I'm not trying to go in there and scut run. Like, I am a member. So he gave me the code, and I went in, and I got like five flights back-to-back on the jet. Literally, I landed, refueled, flew, landed, refueled. It was beautiful day. It was perfect.
No way.
I swear to God, it was perfect.
Huh.
And then I wanted to put another flight, but then the pack for the turbine was getting low. And I was like, maybe not a good idea. So I packed it up and came home. And then Saturday, I went to Torches. You know, we had a get-together there for pretty much to get the feel ready for the Orlando, what is it called? The Torches Winter Bash.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a bunch of members there. And Had some burgers, you know, and what else? We, you know, we had to build, we kind of, well, I, not me, but by the time I got there, it was a little bit late because I was busy doing some other stuff, but they put together a couple more picnic tables and, you know, kind of worked a little bit on the net and, and, I guess we need a new net. So they're going to order that. We just kind of like one of those days just to get the feel ready for the event.
Nice.
And, you know, I have to commend Bobby Watts, man. He's doing an incredible job as the club president. He's really bringing people together and everybody just, everybody was there having a great time. Not to mention Gator is the VP, you know, Gator's an awesome guy. So I'm happy the club has such a, such a good, you know, group of people running, running, you know, being, the club has a great group of people as part of their board, you know, their board of directors. So we kind of needed that after Scott Huber left the presidency. So yeah, it was good. Good times. Good times.
Yeah. So I wish I could have made it. Would have been good to see those dudes again. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while. You haven't been there for a while.
No, no. We've been flying out the Eustis Field right around the corner from the house, but yeah, it'll be good to go out the torches again.
Yeah, so it was a good time. And then other than that, I've been working on moving all our websites, man. You know, we had that server crash and, you know, the server is 10 years old. So, yeah, it's been a few days. Finally, I got that finished today. So it's all done. All done. So very perfect.
Very fun.
So what about you? What have you done? Come on. Come on. You got to be more. You got to explain in detail.
Well, okay, Saturday when you were cleaning the field, Olivia and I went to Savannah, Georgia. She has a friend that goes to school up there. So we walked around downtown and hung out and did a little shopping here and there, and it was kind of cool to get away. Savannah's not too far. It was like 4 hours from here each way.
So. When was the last time you flew a helicopter? Okay.
No. Tuesday before Halloween. You and I went out to the field.
That's a week ago.
That is one week ago from today.
It was 1 week ago.
Yeah. 1 week. Yeah, it's been a week.
It's a long time.
I think it's time to fly again.
Yeah.
We should do it.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. As you guys download this episode, we'll be flying. Anyway, what are we talking about? Competitions. Competitions.
Yes, competitions. What they entail, how to get ready, what happens, what you and I have been involved in, and everything to do with it.
Let me say something before you get into the topic. I think, as much as I personally don't think I should be competing anymore, I'm just, you know, just can't keep up with the kids like you and stuff. You know that.
Whatever,
I mean, this is
whatever.
Yeah,
sure.
I think competition is extremely important for the hobby, for all facets of the hobby, for helicopters, for airplanes, for RC cars, for everything. Competition is what drives other people to get better and what gives other people motivation to meet, you know, to improve on their skill set, to get out there and do it, you know, do and fly. And I remember when I was competing, like that was the only thing that kept me from just getting kind of stale with my flying, in a sense, like kind of like I am today. Like I was forced to learn maneuvers and do things and prepare. And that alone is like a huge motivator to keep going. Right. And, and without that, I just don't see, there's like no purpose, right? It's almost like, okay, well, why are you doing it? Like, I know it's fun to fly.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to fly and hang with your friends and everything, but there has to be not necessarily like the competitive aspect of it where you go and you beat somebody else or you do better or you do worse. The competitive aspect is to me is not as important as the self-competitive aspect. In other words, like you competing against yourself, like, can I get better? Can I do this maneuver? Can I perfect it?
Yeah.
Or can I do this routine to music? Can I mix the music and put the flight together and make me feel good about it? Even if I don't beat anybody else, like, I don't care. It's it's all about me, right? It's all about your own happiness and your own personal satisfaction.
Yeah.
About the hobby.
I agree. Yeah, so. I agree. That's the same way that I was when I was coming up. Is it also helps build a name. If you're an up-and-coming 3D pilot, a great way to get out there and get known and noticed is through competing. How I did it back in 2005 is my dad entered me in the iHobby Expo. You know, and it was in California that year, competing with a T-Rex 450 Flybar 72 megahertz. But it was back then where I learned to compete and learned to do set maneuvers and fly to music and all that, and that's kind of what molded me into what I am now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, no question.
Where do we begin? Bert and I are more biased towards 3D competitions because that's what he and I have done all these years.
Yeah.
Bert has dabbled a bit in speed, but primarily...
Not much. Primarily 3D. I mean, I've only done a couple of speed competitions, and I sucked at it. So, but 3D, I did 3D competitions for, I think, 5 years or something like that. Maybe five years.
Right.
So, but there's also F3C.
F3C, F3N.
F3N, which is... F3N is 3D, though.
It is 3D, but it's precision 3D. It's very... planned out. It's like it's one big set maneuvers flight.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that term means, we'll get to that.
But it is 3D though. It incorporates 3D moves. It's all 3D moves pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a whole different animal.
It's just a little bit more I wouldn't call it technical. It's a little bit more methodical as to how things are judged and stuff like that.
Right.
So
a little more specific. But to break down a general competition, what you'll have is usually 2 to 3 flights. I know for overseas, something like 3D Masters or Global 3D, how it works is there was a set maneuver flight where you get to choose from, I think it's 30 maneuvers. You pick 5 maneuvers and they have a K value rating, which is what they're worth in points. Obviously, the higher K value is, the harder maneuver. So you pick the hardest maneuvers that you can do easily, not easily, but you can do clean.
Yeah.
And make them look presentable. And you put those into a routine. And then, you know, you'll have a spotter who'll call them out. And oftentimes for me, it was Bert, and be like, all right, the next maneuver is the, whatever, pirouette and globe. And then you do the pirouette and globe. So you basically have a set maneuvers flight, which is usually, I think it's usually 5 to 10 maneuvers. And you do it one after another. No music. You just do them one after another.
Not ten. It's like...
I think it's 5 to 8, maybe.
But something like that.
Yeah. One after another. No music.
Yeah, and then your caller, like Kyle said, is on the microphone and says, okay, next maneuver is called whatever, and then, okay, start, and then the pilot starts doing it, and okay, end.
Yeah.
Or complete or whatever, and that's when the judges score that that time frame and move on to the next and the next and the next. And it's very... That is the... As much as I hate it, no maneuvers or set maneuvers, as they call them, I think that was the best part of the competition in terms of the how accurate the judging was when it came to that. Because like you can only judge if the maneuver is executed correctly, right?
Right.
So like how symmetrical it is, if you're pirouetting, if your pirouette rate is consistent, you know, if it's symmetrical, if it's centered to the pilot, if it's changing altitude, there's all these things that you look at and you're like, yeah, that is right or that is wrong. And you judge based on that. So the ambiguous, you know, the subjective, the subjective part of the judging goes away during the set maneuver. So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's boring.
It is very boring for the average person to watch it. But as a competition pilot, it's awesome to go out there and watch, you know. There's a few select pilots who nail their set maneuvers every single time. And the few that I would say would be Kyle Dahl, Jamie Robertson, and Nick Maxwell. They go out every single time, and it's like a machine did it. So for me, an exciting part, and also annoying in some ways, was to watch Kyle Dahl go out in 30-mile-an-hour winds and nail all of his set maneuvers.
Yeah.
Perfectly centered and all that. But... so that's sets. Moving on, there's a music flight where you put together a 3 to 3.5 minute long song where you take either one song or you mix a bunch of them together, sound effects, intro, outro, and you do your best to make the most creative and choreographed flight to that song. And that was always something that I loved. I thought it was a lot of fun and a big challenge because it's how you interpret the sounds and the beats and how closely you can hit them.
Yeah. And some people focus their flying a lot on like the beats and things like that. And other pilots focus their flight more on the mood of the music. So, I mean, it's again, it's subject to interpretation. So it's all up to the judges to decide how they see that flight, you know, is very subjective, right?
Yeah.
And then generally a freestyle routine.
Yeah, the freestyle.
Yeah.
Which... for a global 3D format, had no music. It was just three to 3.5 minutes. And you go out and you do the most creative flight. You can either do smack, technical, new maneuvers, or a mixture of all three. Yeah.
The combination of all of the above is what got you the win, in my opinion.
Right.
But, you know, you're talking about a very specific format, which is the global 3D format, which is heavily based on the original 3DX format.
Correct.
And 3DX was started by a gentleman called Jeff Berenger out of the UK. And the 3DX was originally held in the United Kingdom. And it was a very, very well-known, very popular competition for years and years. And I don't remember the intricacies as to what happened with Jeff, but I know that that later was moved to Venlo, the Netherlands, as 3DX. And then 3D Masters, basically, was the name of the competition. 3DX, 3D Masters being the same. And then it changed to Heli Masters. Mm-hmm. It's not worth getting into the reasons as to why, but there were some controversy and some things going on behind the scenes. So it became Heli Masters. Mm-hmm. And then Heli Masters morphed into what we have today, which is Global 3D.
Correct.
And the organizer of Global 3D was instrumental in running Heli Masters. Mm-hmm. So, and he was pretty good friends with Jeff Berenger, who was running 3D Masters back in the day. So it's evolved, but it's almost the same type of format from back in the day of Heli Masters in New Hampton, I think it was, in the UK.
Yeah.
To what Global 3D is. You had, you know, your set maneuvers flight. You had your freestyle flight, and you had your flight to music. And the judging criteria was very specific for each one of those three categories. Mm-hmm. There was the competition that was organized by Silver Ray. There was a year when there was no Heli Masters, no 3D Masters. Global 3D hadn't existed yet. Mm-hmm. And there was a competition in the south of France. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that competition? You won it.
3D Cup. Yeah.
Same format, too. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that was kind of a year gap where there was no Heli Masters, 3D Masters was already gone, and Global 3D hadn't existed yet.
Right.
And Silver Ray from South France did this 3D Cup in the south part of France, and it was a beautiful area, great area. It's just very remote, so we didn't have a lot of spectators. Mm-hmm. That's the year that you took first place. Mm-hmm. That was the same format, too.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Same idea.
But parallel to that, back home in the U.S., we've had the XFC for a lot of years, right?
Many, many years. I want to say back to, what, 2000-ish?
Yeah, or even before that.
Could be.
XFC had a completely different format. Well, first of all, XFC wasn't just the helicopters. Mm-hmm. And for all the people that are new or don't know what that is, XFC stands for Extreme Flight Championships. Mm-hmm. And they included airplanes as well as helicopters. And the airplanes was like IMAC type stuff, right? Like, 40 percenters and, you know, big planes.
Yeah.
And then helicopters was traditionally, you know, 90 class back in the day, or 700 class helicopters. Mm-hmm. Some people would show up with 600 class helicopters. But they had both planes and helis. And on the heli side, it wasn't like Heli Masters or 3D Masters or Global 3D, where you had three separate styles of flights. Mm-hmm. Originally, the XFC was one, what they called it, a known flight, and then a freestyle or unknown flight. Mm-hmm. So, and those were 4-minute long flights in the beginning, like when they first started, 4 minutes long.
Crazy.
Obviously, with the new electrics and everything else and balls to the wall power, like you couldn't get 4 minutes. So I think at the end, they shortened it to three. Like the last year they did it?
3 or 3.5, yeah.
Yeah. But originally it was 4 minutes, and then your known flight was basically a flight where you had to do, I believe, three maneuvers. Mm-hmm. And you didn't select these maneuvers, like unlike 3D Masters, Heli Masters, Global 3D, you didn't pick these maneuvers. These were given to you. You have to do these three maneuvers.
Right.
And you had to incorporate those three maneuvers within your 4-minute routine to music. Mm-hmm. And so you had to fly to music. You could do smack, you could do, you know, any kind of 3D, whatever you wanted to do, but sometime within the 4-minute flight you had to do those three maneuvers, and you had to choreograph them to music.
So hard.
Yeah.
So
then hard. They had a separate flight that was what they called a freestyle or unknown flight, which was just you flying, you know, 4 minutes to music.
Right.
And but the judging criteria was very broad. It was broader than, like, say, 3D Masters or Heli Masters or Global 3D. Because in Global 3D, for example, like, the judge is looking at your set maneuver. There's no music. There's nothing going on. He sees the start and the end of the maneuver. He judges that, how symmetrical it was. Mm-hmm. Pirouetting was consistent. Flip rate was consistent. Roll rate or, you know, altitude changes, blah, blah, blah. And then he scores it, and he just writes down a score on his sheet. Then he moves on to the music flight, and he's like, okay, how choreographed was that flight? And he judges the flight based on that.
Yeah.
He moves on to the freestyle. He's like, okay, how creative it was? Is there any technical moves? Is it low to the ground? Is it exciting? How is the overall presentation? There's no music. On XFC, it was different because it was very broad, right? Because in the known flight where you did the three maneuvers, They had to score the maneuvers themselves, but they also had to score the overall flight, if it was done to music, if it was technical. There was so many different things to look for in the judge's criteria that it was very difficult competition to nail down, right?
Very difficult.
You couldn't focus on like, okay, like I know these guys are looking for me to be technical. Technical is 40%. Creativity is 20%. No, it was very broad. There was a little bit of everything on every flight.
Right.
So it was harder for the pilot to really like nail that criteria judges.
Big challenge. Yeah. I always thought the no maneuver flight was the hardest for me because not only did you have three maneuvers to fit into 4 minutes, it also had to fit the music. So I'm trying to think of some old maneuvers that they would do, but like a pirouetting rainbow X where you're doing a rainbow. I know you're... This is going to be hard to follow, but it's a rainbow X, and you had to reverse the pirouette.
It's a rainbow. Yeah, it's a rainbow while pirouetting, and you do it in the shape of an X.
Correct.
And I remember that year because I competed that year. Man, how do you do that to music?
Exactly.
I had some like circus music on mine.
And I remember Bobby cheated because he wrote his own music on a guitar.
Yeah, I looked up like Cirque du Soleil or something like that, and I had some circus music.
There you go.
So, and it was terrible, but I guess it worked. I mean, what else could you... I mean,
that's,
what...
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It was so hard, but that was another thing. It was just a challenge. It was cool. You know, we'd get the list of set maneuvers. I think they would release them around February or March, and then the competition was in June. So you had, you know, what, 3-4 months to prepare and practice and get your music nailed down and all that, but XFC was great. And as a subtle little plug is it's coming back in 2019 in the same old format. So you're going to have two flights, known maneuvers and then music.
It's not a plug. It's not a shameless plug. It's a good plug.
It's a good plug. We're not affiliated.
No. We're not going to make a dime off of it. It would be nice. I'm pushing every pilot I know that is up to that. That has got enough skill to make it to that competition because I think it's important to try to get people back into competition.
Yeah. I will personally be there. I will be competing. And we're going to have our pilot, Justin Cook, is on the list. AJ Jaffe, Nick Maxwell, Greg Jackson. You know, there's a bunch of names up there right now. Hopefully more and more will be joining up soon, very, very soon. We need some international guys. So if any of you overseas pilots are listening to this, check out XFC. You're going to have two flights, no maneuver with music and then unknown with music. So...
We need to get Damanti to do it too.
We're gonna try. He's a stubborn little turd, but we'll get him to do it.
He doesn't want
to
do it.
Well, he has F3C right after it.
Oh, it's fine. He can do it.
He'll be fine.
But Chris Damanti.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you have to compete.
You have to do it.
And you know, the thing is, like, you don't have to be. I mean, you know how many times I got my butt spanked like hard. Like the first year I went, it's like I think 05 or 06, maybe 06. Man, like, I had my ass handed to me. I finished, like, 8th place or something. Who cares?
Yeah.
It was an awesome experience. It was an awesome experience. Mm. It opens you up to... It just changes your perspective on everything. On, like, how you approach things with regards to your flying. How to practice. Like, how... You know, it gives you ideas on new maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool.
It's inspirational, just,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. It brings you up as a pilot. Even if you go there and don't win, who cares? That's 3 to 5 months of good practice where you became a better pilot.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
nothing wrong
I agree. And this year, they're doing it differently. So it's going to be teams. So the U.S. team and then the international team. And so like whomever makes like part of that team goes to the finals. I think that's a pretty cool idea, you know?
Yeah.
So Frank Knoll, the main organizer... has promised me that like the judging is going to be different. It's going to be very fair and square, and it should be cool. It should be really good.
And as an entertainment value, if you go, it's going to be helicopters, airplanes, and jets.
Yes,
jets.
For entertainment value, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
just to go out there and see some of those guys flying their jets and stuff, and you know, not to mention the plane guys. Those guys do crazy 3D with the big freaking ass. Airplanes. I mean, that's excuse me. That's awesome.
Massive.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see the jets. I think personally, in my opinion, you need to get an SAB Avio Havoc, and you need to go compete there.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
What?
I'm gonna go compete against Pablo Fernandez. I'm gonna do so good, and Jesse. Yeah, this is gonna be great. Yeah.
Nah.
I'm looking forward to it. Anyway.
But so, let's turn this background on everyone else. Why should someone compete? Why should someone who is coming up in the 3D flying, why should they compete? And in my opinion, is because it, like Bert said earlier, is it motivates you to practice and become better. Yeah. Gives you a goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it does. If you're becoming a better 3D pilot and you can hold your own in defense and you're feeling confident, you know, why not? Give it a shot.
See, my memory's terrible, but I can't remember the year, but, you know, we started Orlando Helicopter Blog in 2008, and I was pretty adamant about running a competition at some point, and you might have been there. You didn't compete because it wasn't for, like, very good pilots. It was more for, it was literally for the intermediate pilot. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, like, as of 2018, you go to an event, you see an incredible amount of talent. I mean, all these guys are amazing. But back in 2008, it wasn't so. Mm-hmm. You had a group of 5 to 10 that were really good, mm-hmm. and then everybody else sucked. Right? I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you had 2 or 3 that were absolutely incredible, like, you know, the Krauses of the world and Curtises of the world. And then you had a group like that included you and me and Watts and, mm-hmm. and Bodos and other guys that were like pretty good, pretty mm-hmm. solid. And then everybody else sucked. Think about it. Mm-hmm. That's how it was. Mm-hmm. Now, man, everybody can fly. Everybody can fly. Not to your level, but...
Yeah, they can throw it down. Yeah.
Yeah, for the uneducated eye... To compare you, and this is not an offense towards you, but to compare you against somebody that's, you know, any good pilot at IRCHA mm-hmm. that might not be up to your level, but to the uneducated helicopter guy, man, they can't tell the difference, you know what I mean? Whereas back in the day, it was very noticeable.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was very adamant about doing an event, a competition for these guys, the intermediate guys, mm-hmm. the guys that could perhaps do a TikTok, maybe not in perfect control, but... Still could do it. The guys that could do a hurricane, the guys that, you know, they were aspiring to becoming the next great pilot, mm-hmm. but they weren't quite there yet. And, you know, we had great success. We had like 20 entries or more, mm-hmm. which is pretty reasonable for a helicopter event of that nature. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like, I just never followed through with it because we started to lose interest and we didn't have many people that were really motivated to enter. So the next time we tried to run it, we only had like 5-6 entries. And then I dropped it altogether. But what I'm getting at is, man, the people that did it that year, they all had a lot of fun. James Van Hook was in that competition. And he finished like 2nd, I think, or something like that back in the day. I think he dumb-thumbed his thing. Otherwise, he would have won it probably. But it was great. And it brought a lot of these guys together. It allowed them to share ideas and to look at each other's flights and be competitive about it in a good kind of way, in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And definitely helped their flying. It helped their flying skills. It helped their camaraderie. There's just no wrong about it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. And if those of you out there who are not top-of-the-line 3D guys or maybe don't even want to be a top-of-the-line 3D guys, but you still want to compete, there's other ways to do it. Something we referenced earlier called F3C is a great way to do it. F3C is primarily precision hovering and then precision... aerobatics. I'm never going to claim to be an expert because I've never been good at it or really tried it, but it's a lot of precision hovering over cones and, you know, maintaining stability and control of speed and hovering around a course.
It's basically separated into two. There's two, I wouldn't call it a category. Somebody's going to kill me because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I know there's basically two aspects of the F3C flying or FAI precision flying. There's the hovering maneuvers and then the maneuvers, as they call maneuvers upstairs, mm-hmm. which incorporate some rolls or some loops or some, you know, flips mm-hmm. or whatever mm-hmm. at certain speed while flying. Yeah. You know, that's why they call it upstairs. And then they have their hovering maneuvers. Mm-hmm. And man, the hovering maneuvers are tough. Hovering is easy, but boy, oh boy.
It's so hard. Because of the wind and then the perfect setup. It's getting a helicopter to hover smoothly, controllably, and then like sound good and all that in one spot, it's tough.
And when you're at that upper level of flying, precision flying, the judges are sitting there with a pen. And they're looking at your main shaft to see how much the main shaft is moved, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty in-depth. It's pretty in-depth. But if you want to give that a shot, I know they have different classes as far as difficulty, advanced, beginner. I am not the expert to talk to by any means, but it is something to look into. Another aspect is speed flying. I know that Justin Pucci, we had him on recently. He's a big speed guy. They have different speeds, and if you want to take your stock, you know, typical sport flying machine. You can do speed racing with that, or go all the way to something like a Goblin Comet, which is designed just around speed, and get, you know, hundreds of miles an hour out of it and get pretty intense with it. So,
and as part of Justin's deal, MSFA. Yeah, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but
Model Speed Helicopter Flying Association.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's him and Thiago Santiago, and I think Ben's still a part of it. But as part of the deal they do with the speed flying, they also do the drag races, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good way to compete. They just have fun, yeah. Right?
That's awesome.
Who cares who wins?
Yeah.
Man, that's so awesome. That's just the adrenaline's pumping. It's only like a 5-second deal, but
yeah.
That, you know, the 20 seconds ahead of takeoff is just fun. It's just cool.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, it's part of it, it's something cool to do in the hobby that brings us all together as well.
And just something I have here in the notes, probably the oldest competition that I still see at events nowadays is the classic auto rotation competition.
Oh, no doubt.
Man, that's been around since the beginning of time. But it's changed over the years. I mean, every event does it a little differently, but it's varied from how long can you auto to who can do the coolest auto to landing down and hitting a spot, you know, landing it right into a circle. It's changed over the years, but I think that's probably one of the coolest and most fun.
And it's informal, and who cares? Yeah. There's no prizes. There's nothing for the most part, right? It's just
maybe a set of blades.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I know at the blowout, Graves RC was doing $300 cash, which is probably one of the most generous prizes for auto rotation contest. Bottom line is, if you go to an event and there's an auto rotation contest, just enter it. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You got nothing to lose. Don't push yourself to crash your machine. Just do an auto rotation. If you can land on the spot or whatever it is that you need to do, great. If not, you know, it's a great experience. It's
It's cool.
So where can people compete? Well, that's very broad.
I think the best way to do it is obviously at an event. And basically any event you go to will have some form of competition.
Yeah, if you go to an event, you know, they're going to at least have an auto rotation contest. It's really not a competition, but it's a good way to hone in your auto skills, see other people do auto rotations, be a part of the whole thing.
Right.
If Justin Pucci and crew are there, they're going to be doing the speed flying. Enter the speed flying. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You don't need a dedicated speed machine. You can enter with your 700 class or 550 class machine, even with the Fireball or a Mini Comet or Oxy or something micro, because they do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, you can enter as part of the what do you call it, the drag race part of the competition, which is a lot of fun. So I mean, you got all those options for everyday, you know, fun flies, right?
Yeah.
And then if you want some serious stuff, then you can consider XFC. Mm-hmm. I think that's the last one we have anymore. It's pretty sad, but
yeah,
right.
I mean, if you want to see all the above, you can go to IRCHA. IRCHA literally covers the entire spectrum of competitions. They host the F3C. What is it?
They do the nationals. They do the Nats.
Yeah. The Nats. They do the Nats a week before IRCHA.
Before IRCHA, more or less. It's right before IRCHA.
Yeah.
And then during IRCHA, you have an amateur competition, right?
Do they still do that?
Yeah.
I think yes, they do. Yeah.
You it's can't non-sponsored. Be sponsored to enter that.
Right.
Excuse me. And and again, XFC, and you know, you can apply to go to XFC. If you can do any kind of 3D, you should do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
You can apply. I mean, you just fill out a form that says what have you done, who are you, and you know, they ask for a video, and then Frank will get back to you with either a yes or a no.
Yeah. It's gonna be held July 18th through the 21st, 2019, at the Eli Field in Monticello. Eli Field, Monticello, Illinois.
Yeah.
Monticello, Italiano. Monticello, Illinois. So just go to the website. It's xfcv2.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply within the website to enter the competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not into helis, but you're a good plane pilot, do it. Mm-hmm. Or jet pilot. Who cares? It's all about just going out there and having fun and being a part of, you know, the hobby, being a part of growing the hobby. It's all about growing the hobby.
Or even if you're not If you're in the area or even not in the area, go out and check it out. I mean, that's the one field where you're going to see the best pilots of every single aspect. The best airplane, helicopter, and jet pilots.
Yeah, even right there. Yeah, even a spectator. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you have very deep pockets and you think you have what it takes to like to be a part of, be a competitor, go to, check out the Global 3D website, global3d.com, I believe it is. And if you can afford a ticket to the Netherlands, I know not a lot of people can, but it's a great experience. You can start with the at the what is it called, the sportsman level, is that do expert. They still have
expert
level now? Right, it used to be sportsman back in the day during the 3D Masters time.
Now it's experts, and I guess it's masters, experts and masters classes.
So you can start at the, it's actually global 3D.nl for Netherlands. And yeah, you can join the expert category or class, and yeah, just have a great time. They have a team competition, a night flight competition. I mean, it's just, it's all a lot of fun.
Team competition. You have some history with the team competition.
Yeah, I do. That was that was fun back with Mr. Watts.
Yeah, you and Bobby Watts were the one and only team that could win it every single time.
For a few years, yeah, that was fun. That was a good run.
Yeah, you guys did pretty
good. I think we won like 2 years back-to-back Heli Masters and like 2 years back-to-back XFC or something, or 3 years. I don't remember. But yeah, it was good times.
Yeah,
good
it was times. Classic.
Good old school stuff. Old school flying.
Yeah.
For sure. 100%.
No doubt about it.
What else you got?
Have we talked about night flying?
Night competitions. I mean, there's one at IRCHA, right? Everybody and anybody can enter.
Yeah, you just show up and put your name down. I don't think it's... Is there a cash prize? I don't know if there is.
Yeah, there's always been. I don't know that they did this year, but historically, there will have been like $500 or $1,000. It depends on the sponsor, but yeah.
Yeah.
So there's some cash money involved. At OHB, we've been... We did like... I think it was $1,000 last year or the year... Last year, I think it was $1,000 or $500. I don't remember, but yeah, it was pretty decent. There was a year when we did $1,000 first place night flying at OHB.
Right.
And then I think the year that you got your ass handed to you by Justin Cook, you missed out on part of that dope. I'm sure John Cook was happy.
Oh man, that's too funny.
We love you, John. It's all good.
Night flying is cool though. Night flying is awesome.
Night flying is cool, but I think different. Night flying is going away in lieu of the King of the Midnight Sun, as Charles Anderson calls it.
What do you think
of the King of the Midnight Sun? Explain to the audience, to our listeners, what the King of the Midnight Sun stands for.
That is it's a new age night flying, I think I'd call it. It's these huge, what are these, swamp lights or big tower lights, construction lights. They put two or three of them on the flight line.
It's not night flying, dude. It's daytime flying with... Yeah. Artificial lights.
Right. It's like a really, really, really cloudy day with some strong lights behind you. I think it's awesome in a way because there's zero preparation. You fly the exact same helicopter you're going to fly during the day. There's no night lights. There's no night blades. There's no extra batteries to charge. All you do is you just go out there and fly.
The only difference is you have to keep it within a certain distance. That's all.
Yes.
You still can get far, but you can't get far and high.
Right.
So, but it's the same thing, isn't it?
Like, I mean, I think it's a little bit harder in a way because it feels like it's moving faster because you can't see it as well.
But I think also, it has a lot to do with the fact that everybody gets together.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then everybody's cheering all the pilots because they can only fly one at a time kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it just puts the spotlight on that pilot, like per se, right?
Yeah.
Like it puts the spotlight on that pilot. Like literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So, and people like cheer for the pilot and they scream and yell and cheer them on. And it's just different than daytime flying. That's all it is.
I think it's cool. It's fun. It's different.
But King of the Midnight Sun. That name is gay. We got to get rid of it.
I know.
Sorry, Charles.
Terrible. Terrible.
So how do you think that competing has affected your style or your flying career in general?
I think it has molded it and supported it to be where it is now. Because if I never competed, I would have never been, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a jerk, but like recognized, perhaps is the right way to say it, by various companies who have sponsored me. So I would certainly not be where I am today without competition. because it pushed me to get better. It pushed me to try and be innovative and creative and fly to music better and work on my set maneuvers.
That's fair enough.
So, I mean, it pushed me to be where I wanted to be in flying.
That makes sense.
That's same with you, enough. Right? Because it pushed you to keep going and travel around, and you got better because of it.
No comment. Okay. Well, thank you very much, everybody.
That was fun.
I think that wraps it up for competitions. Episode competitions. 22.
Check out XFC.
Check out XFCV2.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like Kyle said, even if you don't feel comfortable competing and you don't want to be a part of the competition, just at least if you're somewhere within a 5-hour drive distance, you should make the trip at least to support the event, to support your favorite pilot, to check out all the stuff that's going on there during that weekend. And yeah, just consider being a little bit more supportive of competitions in general, you know. Send a shout out to Justin Pucci for doing everything he's doing, you know, support your local club, and if there's an event and they're doing some kind of contest of any sort, any kind, just be a part of it. Or if you don't want to be a part of it, just push your buddies to be a part of it. Like try to be a little bit more enthusiastic or more pro competitions or contests of any kind, because I think they do help the hobby.
Competition pushes innovation. And if the pilots get better and they need stronger machines, that means that everyone gets better machines.
I agree. So. I agree. This is very true. Yep. Cool.
Well.
So what else you got? Is that about it?
I think that's about it for this one.
Or we're going to talk about next week.
Next week we're going to cover motors and ESCs, gear ratios, power setups, all the above.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's been requested, and I think it's good to go over, and it's, we know at BK we get a lot of questions about what is a proper pulley/pinion setup for their goblins and what motor should they choose and all that. So you and I are going to break it down and try and make it simple and easy.
Nice.
Yep.
Alrighty. So how can people get a hold of you?
The best way.
Instagram.com/KyleStacy.
The best and worst way to get a hold of me is Facebook. Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
Nice.
You?
I can be reached Facebook.com/BurtRC or Instagram at Burt_Kammer, or you can get a hold of both of us at TheBKOfficial on both Instagram and Facebook.
Yep.
You can email us at info@BKRCpodcast.com. Send us your suggestions. Episode ideas and so forth. We struggle to get ideas because we want to keep our episodes short and sweet, and we want to give you some level of information. I mean, we'll do some banter and some useless stuff here and there, but we want to give you at least something that you can take back and think about later.
Yeah. And if you have any ideas for guests, if there's people you want to hear from,
yeah,
let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Bert and I know everybody who has ever existed, so.
Nobody pays attention to us, but we know them all.
Exactly.
So we can hound them and bug them. Mr. Bennett, you need to be on the show.
Yes, Mr. Bennett, and we'll get some more dudes.
How about Jason Krause?
I want to hear from Jason Krause.
I wonder
if
anybody in the audience knows who Jason Krause is. He's been gone for, my God, how long? Years,
yeah.
But this guy was very instrumental to a lot of cool stuff that happened in the hobby that I would venture to say that Krause was almost like instrumental to shaping up a lot of the stuff that is happening today with helicopter design. Mm-hmm. No question. So we need to bring him on the show.
I would say that our audience has either flown or seen one of his designs somewhere over the years.
For sure. No
100%.
Question.
No question about it.
Yeah, no question.
Yep.
But anyway, well, thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you guys.
And you'll hear from us, or
you'll
listen to us again.
You'll watch us.
How do you say goodbye? You check us out next week at bkrcpodcast.com.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.